We began our service this morning asking a question: what do I bring to God? And I hope you in part answered that question during our time of worship. Now I want to ask the other half of that question: what do I want from God? Is there something, some area of your life, your circumstances, in which you long to have God's come down to the very heart of it and bring such change that there'll be complete blessing? Do you want God's blessing in your life? And if so, how much do you want it? We're going to see today that there are times in our lives when God releases his blessing only after we show him how serious we are to receive it, for it to come into our lives, to make changes. Only after we have wrestled with God about that area of concern for us. And we want to look at a Bible passage that speaks into that. Now, if you want to find where God brings blessing in the Old Testament to the lives of individuals, in fact, a line of individuals, Abram, his son Isaac, his son Jacob, and so into a family, and therefore into a nation, and into the whole world, including us, because in Jesus we are the ultimate recipients of that, then you'd go to the book of Genesis, which is all about this journey of God bringing blessing. And it begins with God blessing and notifying Abram that he's going to bring blessing through him in Genesis 12. I will make you into a great nation. That's quite a blessing. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And as I've said, we in Jesus, the descendant of Abram, are the recipients of that blessing. But if we're looking there for the example of how God blesses his people, I can imagine you might say to me, hang on a second, but you know, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, come on. We're not exactly them, are we? I mean, these are amazing people. Really look again. Have you noticed in all the examples of scripture how imperfect the people that God chooses to bring blessing through? Have you noticed how imperfect they are? Moses, he was a murderer. David, an adulterer and a murderer. Peter, through whom the blessing would come to the church, he was a bad-tempered, ear-lopping, lying denier. And then the Apostle Paul, what blessings came through him and his writings. But as he was, before his name changed from Saul, he was the ultimate zealous persecutor of the new church and was in the business of killing God's people. These are the people through whom God brings blessings. But what about Abram, Isaac, and Jacob? Actually, do you realize that each of them was known for lying, for deception, and for selfishness? But the amazing things that came through each of those came not because of their character, but because of God's character. And these imperfect people became people who could bring blessing because of constant interaction, encounter with God, at times wrestling with God, through which he changed them. What do you most want God to bring blessing into your life? You might want to ask that as a person, as an individual, And I hope you're also asking it for us as a church this morning. Abram, Isaac, Jacob, family line, sons following from Abram. But you know, the blessing didn't just come to Abraham and then just passively flow, and incidentally, Isaac and Jacob happened to receive that blessing as well. No, that blessing was specified to each generation, to each person individually, because that's the way God works. We have all received the blessing of knowing that Jesus is Lord and Savior if we have put our faith in him and trusted him. But blessing doesn't just pour into our lives. We are not a source of immense blessing to people around us if we don't do something about it. We have encounters with God through which he changes us and enables us to be that blessing to others. And that's what we see for each of these individuals. And I want to look at the example of Jacob specifically this morning. Jacob became Israel. He was the father of 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel, this nation that brought astonishing blessing, not just to themselves, but to those around them. That was God's plan for them. But all of that came through a series of personal encounters with Jacob, who started as this incredibly imperfect character, but through these encounters was transformed into a person that God could use for blessing. Let's have a look at some of the examples of how this man changed. Jacob's early life, you might remember, he was one of twins, Esau and Jacob, born to Isaac and Rebekah. Esau was born first. He was the one that all the blessing would have come to, the firstborn. But you remember that as he was born, Jacob was holding on to the heel of his brother Esau as he was born. So he was given the name Jacob, which means grasps the heel. And that's a figurative speech way of saying he was a deceiver. In their culture, they would know that grasping the heel means deceiver, like for us, teetotal. That's a figure of speech. Oh, he's teetotal. It doesn't mean he's someone who counts tea bags. It means he's someone who doesn't drink. Same thing, a figure of speech. Jacob was a deceiver, and that character came out through his life in various places. You may remember that one of the first instances was where Esau, his brother, had been out in the field. He'd come back after a long time out there in the baking sun, exhausted, dehydrated, starving, desperate for something to eat. And he pleaded with his brother, Jacob, to give him something. And Jacob manipulated his brother and said, yes, I'll give you some of my stew. I'll sell it to you for your birthright. He was a manipulator. And then a little later, actually, as their father, Isaac, was approaching the end of his life and wanted to bless his oldest son, what did Jacob do? He pretended to be the elder son, Esau. He even put skins on his arms so his arms would feel rough like his older brother. And he lied to his father. He deceived his father and received a blessing as a result of that deception. It made Esau, when he found out, so angry that, inflamed with rage, he threatened to kill Jacob, so much so that Jacob had to flee and went to live in a completely different part of the region and lived in Haran with this man, Laban, member of the family. You might remember that that's where he met the person he wanted to be his wife, the beautiful, just forgotten her name. Hang on, I've written it down. Come on, we all know this.
Rachel.
Thank you. Bless you. Rachel. Had a mind melt. Found Rachel. Wanted to marry her. And Laban, the father, said, fine, work for me for 7 years and you can have a hand. And so he worked for 7 years, only to then receive his own medicine and be deceived by Laban, because at the end of the marriage, he found it was Leah, the older sister he was married to, and was given an invitation to work a further 7 years to take the hand of Rachel. And that's what he did. He's now been out there 14 years working, at which point he's thinking to himself, it's time for me to go back. Interestingly, God didn't let him go back to the land that he'd come from for a further 6 years. But in that time, where there was more manipulation and more deceit, God still blessed Jacob, and he built his flocks. He built up his family. God blessed him because that process had already started. But this was not a time that Jacob was yet ready to be a blessing himself. And so we're going to come to the reading for this morning, a point at which, after 20 years away, Jacob decides it's time to go back to Canaan with his family. He sets off, and as he's approaching, come on, we're all asking that question. It's been on the back of his mind for 20 years. What is the response I'm going to get from Esau? Does he still want to kill me? You can imagine it's been niggling at him, eating him away all this time. He should have had the blessing. I took it. How's he going to respond? He's going back with his family. God has told him to go. What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to all his possessions? So they set off. He sends gifts ahead. He sends messengers ahead. And guess what? He gets the news back from the messengers. Esau is coming out to meet you. And he's coming with 400 men. Not sure it sounds much like a welcoming party. Sounds more like a raiding party. Is this the end? Can you imagine what is going on inside Jacob? Can you imagine what's taking place, the stress in his mind? Let's find out what he does about it in our reading from Genesis 32. Thanks, Jackie.
Yes, Genesis 32, and from verse 22 through to verse 32. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon.
Thanks, Jackie. Can you imagine what was taking place in his mind? The stress that he must have been under. His wonderful family, his children, all of his possessions, he's sent them all on. He's wondering what on earth is going to take place. He knows what he's done. He knows his unworthiness. And he cries out to his God. That's this picture that is painted. and he's alone. He sends them ahead and he stays to work through this, to battle through it, to find some peace. And this man comes up and he starts wrestling. It's the most bizarre picture, isn't it? And they are just wrestling each other. But it is a picture of someone who is serious about finding a solution to the circumstances they are facing, about dealing with God with something that is overwhelming, that is tearing them apart. And so he wrestles all night, right the way to daybreak. And at some point during that time, he recognized that this is God that he is wrestling with. But he keeps going. At daybreak, the man wants to separate. And he says, no, I won't. So when it is time to stop, God dislocates his hip. But Jacob still won't stop. That's how determined he is. And he says, I will not stop until you give me your blessing. I wonder how much he really understood who this was, how much he really understood that this was God at that point. But he knows there's something that is so much bigger than him, and he's fighting his way to work through it. And he will not quit until he's discovered this blessing. He's received a blessing from God. This isn't blackmail before God. This is painful, agonizing. It's painful commitment, sincerity to find God's blessing in his life. And the response is that God is pleased by his determination and he gives him his blessing. But not only that, he says to him, because of what you've done, from this point on, you won't be called Jacob the deceiver anymore. You will be called Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and you have overcome. And actually, we find that the story goes on and he leaves without God explaining to him what's happening, but he leaves in peace. And he goes and discovers that Esau doesn't now want to kill him. God's already dealt with that. Actually, Esau wants to embrace him. Blessing is going to come from this point on in his life. Did you notice, though, the changes that have taken place through this wrestling? He started the night in fear, in dread of what was coming. The promise that had been given to him from God almost seemed to mean nothing because of doubt. God had said that his family would be as numerous as the grains of sand in the sea. How often do we know deep down that God has said that things are going to be all right, that we are his and he is with us, but doubt overcomes us. We become so consumed with fear and desperation that we can't see that. That's how he started the night. But look at him at the end. At an end of a prolonged and painful struggle, he receives God's blessing. His faith is renewed and he is filled with peace. Because if we're serious with God, if we spend time wrestling with God, spending time in his presence, working things through, inviting him to change us, peace is the outcome. And I've found many, many times when I have been wrestling through situations like the impossibility of our building situation, finance situation, and other circumstances that we face, I have no choice but to just spend time working through it with God, wrestling. But in the process, what I have found is that at the end, he brings you to a place of peace. I wonder for you, with whatever it is that you're working through, I wonder whether you found that peace as you spent time working with God. Previously, God had spoken to him in dreams. Remember the dream of the ladder going up to heaven and angels ascending and descending? Do you remember all of that? God could have done that. But in this case, he wants Jacob to come and spend time and to work through it, to wrestle with him. He's testing to see how serious he is. Sometimes there's need for a tougher test, and we've got to stick at it. What would your reaction have been, I wonder? If you'd have been him, would you have been saying, oh, I don't have time for this. I need to just get my head together. I just need to distract myself. I need to sleep. Would you have stuck at it until God brings blessing into the situation? Often when we're exhausted, the one thing that we want is just that gentle word of encouragement and be comforted. But sometimes his peace comes through painful, time-consuming toil, wrestling with him. Did you notice there was also a little side effect of all of this? Even worse with all this wrestling, he came away limping. A painful reminder of an injury that actually means he's now going to be even more vulnerable to Esau, who's approaching him. But through it, God has done something that is more comprehensive, that is deeper than he could have imagined. He's not only given him a sense of peace, he's grown his faith. He's got a limp that's going to cause him to rely on God even more. He's changing him, and he's working through all the circumstances. And have you seen the implication for you yet? Have you worked out that when we face uncomfortable trials, things that really test us, we often go through these things not because God is punishing us or doesn't care about us, but actually just the opposite. He wants to grow us. He wants to build our trust of him, our absolute reliance on him. He wants us to be inviting God to bring the solution into the situation. He's training us. He's equipping us in the process. He's molding us, and he's changing our character. So much so in Jacob's case that he even changed his name from deceiver, the one who received blessings through deception, to one who would receive God's blessing and then have the character and the ability to bless others. Do you want to know how that all turned out for Jacob? But to know how Jacob was able to bless, go to the very end of your Bibles in Genesis, where just before we see the death of Jacob, and you'll see in the previous chapter, verse 49, Jacob blesses his sons. A whole series, he goes through each one of his sons. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength. Turbulent as the waters, you will no longer excel for you. And so it goes on, and he gives blessing, and he speaks out God's blessing to each of the sons, because God has changed his character from that deceiver to one of blessing. What's God doing in the process? Actually, he's restoring this person to make him capable of being used by him in ministry for the future. That's restoration, isn't it? Building faith, but also making things right to equip him to do what God's calling him to do. Isn't that what we saw with Peter a few weeks ago in the sermon that Beth gave to you while I was away, about restoration of Peter? Three times Peter had denied Jesus. Three times Jesus asked him the question, "Do you love me?" He's restoring him, overcoming what's gone before, changing his character, making him fit for purpose. And here's the lesson for us. When God calls us to wrestle through the challenges that we face, he wants to know if you are serious for what is coming up. He wants to know if we're up to it. And in the process, he wants to change us. He wants us to be ready to be a blessing for others in the future. I believe God has been doing that for us since 2016, when he invited us to come back and spend time with him. And I believe we've arrived at a key point now where God is inviting us to wrestle with him over the future of what we do with this church. I believe that God has been speaking to us over recent months, actually from Easter, very specifically about the kind of people that we are and the sort of ministry he's calling us to be a people, a royal priesthood who will bless. I believe he wants us to be a blessing to those around us. But like Jacob, I think that might mean we need to be changed, to be molded. And that might just come for us as we spend time wrestling with him. Are you up for that task? I want us to be a church that brings blessing to the community. Sorry to say this if this disappoints you. I don't want us to be a church that just makes you feel really comfortable and give you nice things that you enjoy. I actually want us to be a church that is a blessing to the kingdom of God. Because all around in this world, right through COVID, the message has come to me again and again that people are broken and are hurting and need to know the peace that comes with knowing Jesus. We are his people. We're the church that is invited to be his people and share that message to those around us. Are we up for being changed to become that people? Are we willing to wrestle with God, to spend time in his word, reading again, as I have had to do for hours and hours, as the leaders of the church are having to do, as we face uncertainties, things that we cannot resolve through our own minds, but spend time wrestling with him, saying, Lord, speak to us. What do you want of us? What's your heart for our community, for our church? So that not just we are blessed, but we can be a blessing. I want you to be a blessing. I want you to be a blessing to your families by being so full of Jesus, not just knowledge of Jesus, but the reality of Jesus, that your family look and ask again, what's going on in your life? And there to be so much life there that they will discover the Jesus of eternity. Is that your passion? Is that what you want? Because I've got to tell you, if your families don't know and they end this life without understanding who Jesus is, you don't need me to spell out the reality, do you, for them? I want us to be that church. I want you to be that people who will bless those around us because of Jesus being in us so much on fire. I want us to be a spirit-filled church that will bring that blessing to our community. I want to be the minister who's far more spirit-filled, brings far more blessing, because I have wrestled with God, as I try to do every week before I come to you, but as I have had to do with leaders, particularly as we're facing what is just an unimaginable situation for us with church, with building, with finance, with all the other things that affect us. We are a people who don't have great resources, a great skill set. Well, Jacob was a limping, struggling older man by the time he left, but he had God poured into him. That's what I believe God wants us to be. Are you up for that? Will you wrestle with us, alongside us, as we come to him and ask and pour ourselves out, so that we can be that blessing to those around us? Because that's what I believe God is asking of us. We're going to share more as leaders to you in the church meeting. We'll feed back to the whole church. But will you be up for a journey, spending time with God? I pray you will.